It's a wonderful night for Oscar, Oscar, Oscar. Who will win? The nominated pictures are...
Welcome to Aspect Radio. I am Ben Flanagan, and joining me on the line again is my co-host Corey Kraft. Corey, how's it going?
Hey, it's pretty good. How are you?
Good, good. Just a few days away from a big night, the Oscar night, one that we obviously look forward to and one that we've been able to predict rather easily over the past few years. But in an unbelievable surprise in 2013, we can't really predict it like we used to. It's come down to the wire here, and it looks like we're going to get a photo finish come Sunday night, at least in one major category, that being Best Picture. It looks like Gravity and 12 Years a Slave are going to be the two vying for the final spot. David Russell's movie American Hustle looks like it's out of the picture, but there are some people out there who think it's poised to pull an upset. I don't know that you and I necessarily think so, but we're going to hear from our friends with filmnerds.com, Matt Scalici, Graham Flanagan, and Craig Hamilton a little bit later on. But Corey, I just want to kind of jump into it with you. Let's go through the top eight major categories here and run through what we think will win, and then we'll talk about the rest of it if need be. I think both of us probably predict Gravity to take over the tech categories.
Yeah, that's a pretty safe assumption that all the below-the-line categories, your sound editing, your sound mixing, visual effects, cinematography, probably even original score, Gravity has a pretty firm handle on. I wouldn't be surprised if it pulled out the wins for production design and one other that's sort of contested that I can't remember for whatever reason right now. But Gravity has a pretty firm handle on all of these smaller categories. Where the bigger concern lies is in these top eight categories, where Gravity might pull off at least one it's expected to win and one major surprise. But regardless of whether or not it's going to win the Best Picture Oscar, it will almost undoubtedly come away from the evening with the most total Oscar win.
Well, let's start in a major category where it is not represented, and that's screenplay. And we'll start with adapted screenplay here. And it looks like 12 Years a Slave is the script to beat, but a lot of people have their eyes on Philomena, Steve Coogan's script for that. And I, for a while, had mine on Terrence Winter's script for Wolf of Wall Street, finding its only representation in the winner's circle come Oscar night. But I think it's going to come down to 12 Years a Slave and the possible spoiler, Philomena. Just to be safe here, Corey, I'm picking 12 Years a Slave. Do you think there's any chance for a surprise?
Philomena's well-regarded, and it does have a very nice screenplay with a sort of subtle emotional punch. I think, though, that the heavy hitter in this category, as you said, 12 Years a Slave, is the safe bet. And that screenplay is really quite an achievement for Stephen Queen's film.
So, Corey, original screenplay, I think, is going to be a two-horse race here again, kind of like adapted screenplay with a less clear-cut favorite. You've obviously got David O. Russell and Eric Singer's script for American Hustle, and you've got Spike Jonze's script for Her. And it seems as though Her has some momentum. Obviously, it won the Golden Globe, beat out American Hustle for it. But if American Hustle is going to win anything at this year's Oscar, it might have to settle just for screenplay. And it would be David O. Russell's first Oscar after being nominated several times since 2010. But if American Hustle fails to win the original screenplay Oscar and supporting actress doesn't go its way, then is it really possible that this movie that co-leads in nominations with 10 could be shut out entirely?
It's possible. I, in my own predictions, have it being shut out. Though the more I think about it, the less likely that feels. I agree with you that Spike Jonze's screenplay for Her has the most momentum, certainly going into Sunday night ceremony. And this is the category, of course, where the Academy oftentimes feels most able to recognize more unusual screenplays. Pedro Almodovar's Talk to Her, for example, or Charlie Kaufman's screenplay for Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. These are all winners in this category. Of course, you have noteworthy Best Picture nominees, Lost in Translation winning here. You have the screenplay for Crash somehow winning an Oscar here. I mean, this category is all over the map, but usually it's the place where they take a chance with something kind of wild. And Spike Jonze's screenplay for Her, I mean, that's obviously a movie that the Academy largely likes more than most other major nominating award bodies this season. Then again, American Hustle is sort of the beloved awards juggernaut this season, though I I'm not sure where that passion is really coming from. There is, I think, maybe a sense to reward David O. Russell. I don't know that it will be here, and I don't know that it will be for this movie. So I'm sticking with Spike Jonze taking the award, but only by the thinnest of margins. Either way this shakes out, I'm not going to be surprised.
Well, in the Best Supporting Actress category, Corey, back when the nominations were announced, I was convinced that Jennifer Lawrence would be the winner. It seemed like she had all the momentum and that Lupita Nyong'o had lost it. But these precursors seemed to change their tune as we marched towards the Oscars, and she started winning again. And obviously the SAG win is huge. And Jennifer Lawrence won the BAFTA, but I'm not necessarily sure how much that really figures into this and how indicative that might be. But right now, all things are pointing to Lupita Nyong'o beating out Jennifer Lawrence and preventing her from winning her second Oscar in 2 years. And I think that's probably how it's going to go.
I think this one's going to be a little closer than that. Again, I'm sticking with Lupita Nyong'o as well in this category. But this is another situation, just like original screenplay, where I honestly would not be surprised if American Hustle pulled out a win here, if Jennifer Lawrence was recognized for her second Oscar in 2 years and the second before she even turns 23 years old. Now, that seems excessive. How many great actors and actresses have gone through the decades without ever being recognized with an Academy Award? And here's Jennifer Lawrence with two at such a young age. And yet, I think with her popularity and no sign of that waning, what with her being the lead in 2013's highest domestic grossing film with The Hunger Games: Catch 'em Fire, I don't know anymore. Again, I'm picking Nyong'o to win because I think that she has one of the most powerful roles in a very, very powerful movie, and that will be too much for the Academy to ignore. But Jennifer Lawrence is a very, very real possibility here. And then who knows, maybe this will be the category that they use to recognize Alexander Payne's film Nebraska and give the award to octogenarian June Squibb for a very, very funny supporting turn there. I don't think that'll happen, but stranger things have happened in this category. You know, Marcia Gay Harden came out of nowhere in 2000 to win for Pollock, and nobody really saw that coming, so who knows? But I'm sticking with Lupita Nyong'o and crossing my fingers, I guess. That's how a lot of these categories are this year.
Octogenarian. That's a really nice way of saying she's old, Corey. So way to go.
Well, I'm an English teacher. We couch our true feelings in words.
Sure. Okay. Well, I would be really happy if June Squibb won personally, Corey. That would be a big win, I think, for big fans of Nebraska. But crazier things have happened. I mean, you go all the way back to Marcia Gay Harden winning. Nobody saw that coming. And I think you can go back to even like James Coburn back when he won for Affliction, you know.
For Affliction.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, this is a guy who's getting up there in years and hasn't been recognized in his career. And, you know, June Squibb isn't James Coburn, that's for sure, in terms of stature and popularity, but you never know. But I'm expecting Nyong'o to win it. Let's move on to supporting actor, Corey. It seems like this is the one lock of the night that we can count on. I think Jared Leto definitely will win. I'm not sure that there's a question. I'm not sure out of the four other guys he's up against who could really challenge him. I don't think any of the four really poses a serious threat to him. Barkhead Abdi won the BAFTA the other night, but that was because Jared Leto wasn't even nominated, and neither was Matthew McConaughey. I don't think there's going to be a surprise here, do you?
I don't. I wish that there was more heat around Michael Fassbender. I'm not really sure why there isn't, other than I guess he's not out there at the parties glad-handing for it. But yeah, Jared Leto looks to have this in a walk. It's the kind of thing they eat up. It's a flashy performance. It's a jolt of life in the movie. It's tragic. It's transformative. He's, you know, unrecognizable as this character Rayon in this movie. So this is probably, you know, one of the few categories of the evening that you can probably just guarantee will go to Jared Leto. If it doesn't, in some amazing, unlikely shock, it'll go to Barkhad Abdi, because I think that's a really memorable performance in a widely discussed, widely enjoyed movie that's been around since October. He has one of the most memorable lines of last year, that improvised line where he looks at Tom Hanks and says, I'm the captain now. And it's just a great story. He goes from limo driver and non-actor in Minneapolis to Academy Award nominated actor. Of course, with so many of these unknowns, the nomination is the award itself. So don't look for Jared Leto to lose out here, but you never know, I guess.
On to Best Actress, Corey, another lock, seemingly. Cate Blanchett should win her second Oscar, her first Oscar for Best Actress in a Leading Role, and it's for Woody Allen's movie Blue Jasmine, a film that we were both big fans of and a performance that we're huge fans of. If there's anyone who can upset her, I think, obviously, we talked about Amy Adams carrying some momentum after she snuck into the race. I think that Judi Dench, if anybody has a chance to pull off a shocker in this category, it could be her. Obviously, she has the Weinstein Company in her corner, and they obviously have a track record at the Oscars that we're all aware of, but Cate Blanchett seems like an unstoppable force in this category.
Yeah, she wins it. I mean, that's just all there is to it. Cate Blanchett takes it. And the thing is, you know, the other four nominated performances are all really good. Judi Dench is really, really good in Philomena. In a week or year with a less dominating category, who knows what would happen. I mean, there's a sense that Amy Adams is due after all. This is her fifth nomination that she's never won. But at the same time, she's only 39 years old. And it's not like she's not making two or three movies a year. I mean, she was in three really well-regarded movies in 2013 and doesn't seem to be slowing that film output down one bit. But Cate Blanchett, this is just one of those performances, you know, like Daniel Plainview, like Daniel Day-Lewis, where you just see it and you just know, well, that's going to take it. It's just one of those epic screen performances. Everybody else in this category just has to be happy they're nominated this year.
Absolutely. And Amy Adams, I think, will win at some point in her still very young career. Look, I love her in that movie. I think she's really good in American Hustle, but she's nowhere near the level that Cate Blanchett is playing it in Blue Jasmine.
Yeah.
Okay, well, Best Actor, Corey. This one seems like a lock just based on how the precursors have been going lately. Obviously, you've got SAG, Golden Globes, Critics' Choice Awards, and again, Matthew McConaughey wasn't nominated for a BAFTA, but again, I don't know if BAFTA is really worth considering at this point. I think Matthew McConaughey's momentum is way too strong. I had talked about previously that Leonardo DiCaprio, if he wound up in the race, it could come down to Matthew McConaughey trying to stave off DiCaprio's momentum for Wolf of Wall Street. In that film, finding something to represent it at the Oscars, again, with a win. But I just don't think that DiCaprio's campaign has enough strength right now going into Sunday. And if you break it down, everybody talks about how Academy voters, they like to feel good at movies, and not necessarily saying that a movie about the AIDS fight, a drama about the AIDS fight, is necessarily feel-good entertainment, but when you compare the characters of Ron Woodruff, an admirable figure in the fight against AIDS, to Jordan Belfort, this figure that just represents all of the debauchery and corruption on Wall Street at that period in time, in a movie that some people perceive to glorify that kind of behavior, it just seems like that's going to get to some Academy members, and they're gonna go with McConaughey.
Well, I think that's part of the reason, and I'll tell you what, I think this would be more of a race than it is between DiCaprio and McConaughey, were it not partially for some repulsion for the subject matter of Wolf of Wall Street, and partially because True Detective is on HBO right now and as popular as it is. That show blew up in a big way during Academy voting. And, you know, that's not a huge factor maybe, but it is a factor. You have Matthew McConaughey turning in another hell of a performance on Academy voters' televisions every Sunday night during the voting. If they hadn't seen Dallas Buyers Club, maybe they'd think, I really need to watch that. Maybe they're just reminded of the great career renaissance that that actor has had. Because make no mistake about it, and we've seen this coming for the past few years with stuff like Killer Joe and The Lincoln Warrior and Mud, but Matthew McConaughey has turned it around in a big way. And Oscar voters are going to be happy to reward that. Now, Leonardo DiCaprio is really great in The Wolf of Wall Street. Yeah, I think that film's going to be unrewarded Sunday night. And Chiwetel Ejiofor, in a week or year again, would probably be a stronger contender. But if you know, you look at the guys who were left out in this category, Tom Hanks and Captain Phillips, Oscar Isaac in Inside Llewyn Davis, Joaquin Phoenix in Her, Michael B. Jordan in Fruitvale Station. I mean, anybody who wins in this category, I mean, that's just a phenomenal achievement this year in film. And McConaughey's performance, it stacks up. That's a well-liked movie, and he's a well-liked actor at the moment.
Yeah, and Leonardo DiCaprio sort of is suffering from that Amy Adams syndrome that we just talked about, a young actor who has several nominations and seems poised to win theirs at some point in the very near future, but this just might not be that year. So let's move on to Best Director. Corey, again, another foregone conclusion. Alfonso Cuarón is the favorite and will win on Sunday unless something just absolutely crazy happens, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, how can you deny the achievement of Gravity? I don't see him losing. I don't see any scenario in which he does. You can say all the things in the world about the other four guys, and one day David O. Russell will get his Oscar, and one day Alexander Payne will get his Oscar, and maybe they'll even give Scorsese another one before his career is over, but it's Alfonso Cuarón. And honestly, that's a pretty big victory for fans of this guy who watched in 2006 the masterpiece Children of Men just be completely ignored by audiences and mostly by the Academy, and to have one of like the most beloved sort of film geek filmmakers to finally get his day with a movie that is this in your face and hard to look away from. I mean, that's just a win for exciting filmmaking all the way around.
And a movie that's just that much better than Children of Men. So let's move on to Best Picture. Here, Corey, and the director race, usually it suggests what will win Best Picture, but we talked about this at the beginning of the program. It's not clear right now what's going to win, even though Alfonso Cuarón is the clear winner for director, and the Academy has obviously had the tendency to go hand in hand with these categories. It doesn't seem to be the case this year, and the safest bet seems to be 12 Years a Slave. It's won pretty much everything. It tied for the Producers Guild, and it did not win the Directors Guild, which a lot of people would suggest that is indicative of it not being poised to win Best Picture here, but my gut still tells me that 12 Years a Slave will win. I don't think voters can ignore the power of this movie. I think obviously there are other implications that would prevent people from voting for this, but I think that this is the first time that we can kind of successfully predict a split. Obviously last year we had to by default, since Ben Affleck wasn't nominated for Best Director and Argo was such a sure thing to win Best Picture, but I have to say, as a fan of movies and a fan of the Oscars for many years, it's a little refreshing to have this feeling of just being unsure about how it's going to go down and what name is going to be read. Obviously, if Gravity just cleans up in the way we think it will in the technical categories and Alfonso Cuarón wins Best Director, it suggests that, you know, the Academy is trending one way, but we're expecting that. So I think 12 Years a Slave is going to win, Corey, but it's not going to surprise me if Gravity does. So at this point, what do you think?
I mean, I'm with you. My heart says 12 Years a Slave. My head says Gravity's more likely. But at the same time, you know, I don't know. With the preferential ballot being the way it is, a lot of weight will be put on how voters rank these movies. And even if 12 Years a Slave is at the top of a lot of ballots, if Gravity shows up at number two behind people who say really love Her or The Wolf of Wall Street or American Hustle or any of these other movies, that comes with it a lot of weight too. So the really confusing bellwether in all of this is that the Producers Guild also uses a preferential ballot, which means the last time this was put to the test, we get no conclusion. These two movies ended in a tie. So that should indicate right there how close this race is and how passionate defenders of both films are. That being said, I would not count out American Hustle. But again, I'm leaning with you toward 12 Years a Slave, and if I have to go down with that ship, so be it. But that's what I'm sticking with for now. But however it shakes out, I'm not going to be too surprised.
Well, I'm with you on that ship, Corey. And just to go down the rest of these categories, we don't have to go one by one. Obviously, we think that Gravity is going to win cinematography, visual effects, probably score, the sound categories. Surprisingly, it sounds like Captain Phillips is a lot of people's favorite to win Best Editing.
That's what I'm predicting, too.
Yeah, whereas, you know, Gravity could fall a little short. 12 Years a Slave, obviously a Best Picture contender, might not win that. But Captain Phillips, that could be its lone win of the night. I want to talk about animated feature. It sounds to me like Frozen is as much of a lock as anything in this category, but The Wind Rises is kind of staring at me, in it being Miyazaki's last movie, and the fact that the Academy has shown Miyazaki love in the past, a win for Spirited Away, a nomination for Howl's Moving Castle. If he won for his final movie, and if that story has been disseminated enough throughout the Academy, then I think it's possible, but I'm expecting Frozen to win that one as well.
I would have thought the Miyazaki would take it until Frozen went and did what very, very few Disney Animated Studios films have done in the last couple of decades, and went in and became a genuine pop culture phenomenon. I mean, this is something that is still cleaning up at the box office. It's something that kids and their parents have gone to see repeated times. And I think that's just too much for the Academy to ignore, particularly when the other option is a very well-respected animator who already has an Oscar. I mean, I don't know that that will play into their thinking too much, but it probably will. And Disney Animated Studios, as hard as this is to believe, has never won the Best Animated Feature Award, not since the inception of that award in 2001. So, you know, Disney Pixar picked up, you know, most of them, but Disney, the mothership, has never won. So this will be their time in the sun, I think.
Corey, let me get you to go on the record in a couple of tough categories. Best Documentary Feature.
Oh, that is a tough category. And I've only seen two of these movies, The Act of Killing and 20 Feet from Stardom, which I think are the two front runners. But I think that The Act of Killing is a tough pill to swallow for many reasons. So I'd go with the more lightweight, but still really, really good 20 Feet from Stardom.
I think you're right. You spoke about Frozen just a minute ago, it becoming this pop culture phenomenon. So it seems like it makes the most sense that the song Let It Go, sung by Idina Menzel in that movie, would be the runaway favorite to win Best Original Song. But there's something about Bono in the spotlight here and on his Oscar campaign, appearing on the first episode of The Tonight Show and performing an acoustic version of this song on national television with millions of viewers from this movie, Mandela Long Walk to Freedom. I think that you two could play the spoiler in the song category. What do you think?
I think so, but you know what else has become a weird pop culture phenomenon? That Pharrell song.
Yeah.
You can't turn on your television or radio without hearing that thing.
Yeah.
So kudos to whoever really started that campaign going, but it is, I mean, an insanely catchy song on top of that. I still think the Frozen song takes it, but U2 and Harvey Weinstein and Nelson Mandela, I don't know, that might prove difficult to ignore, despite that song kind of, like much of U2's recent work, just sounding like a muddle to me, honestly.
I think that'll do it, Corey, for these categories. I mean, I feel mostly good, but it's just with the Best Picture category, when it's been so obvious for so many years, this just kind of feels weird.
Yeah, you know, the last time I was kind of even reasonably uncertain was 2006, which had this little dogfight going between The Departed and Little Miss Sunshine and, of all things, Babel, which I cannot believe ever seemed to stand a chance, but did for like a month or two there. So this is like 10 times worse than that. I mean, I'm pretty sure that the Academy is going to pick the important film or the truly groundbreaking work of cinema. But, you know, maybe they just like fun costumes and silly wig. We'll see.
Yeah, you know, I'd probably give somebody a $10 bill if they could tell me one detail they remember from the movie Babel. Because I certainly don't remember anything.
I got one, but it's not safe for work.
Oh, that's good. All I can really remember is winning that DVD at your Oscar party last year.
And going home and promptly watching it, I'm sure.
Yes, yes. I actually, you know, one of my coffee table legs needed additional support. And ever since then, I've been able to put glasses of water on my coffee table. So I appreciate that, Corey.
Just think that could have been Academy Award winner Babel.
Oh, well. I think that this is a situation where if Gravity wins, great. If 12 Years a Slave wins, great. They're both great movies, and they're both deserving of the praise. It's a shame that the other won't win, but it's not necessarily a bad thing if either of the films win.
I will amend that by saying it would be an extremely distasteful thing if American Hustle wins. And I don't even dislike that movie, but I find myself in the same situation I found myself with The Artist and Argo, which is, that's a perfectly nice movie, but given your options, that's what you're going to go with? Okay.
Well, yeah, you know, and those movies are even better than American Hustle, in my opinion. So I'm with you. If that wins Best Picture, then I think we're all in big trouble here, but it's got its fans out there, and they'll be popping champagne, I guess.
I guess.
All right, well, Corey, thanks for doing this, man. And our next full episode will be episode 100, where we will finally say goodbye to the year 2013. So we'll catch up with you then.
All right, looking forward to it.
We're going to go now to our friends at filmnerds.com, Matt Scalici, Graham Flanagan, and Craig Hamilton with their take on Oscar night coming up.
What's up, Aspect Radio? This is Matt Scalici from filmnerds.com. To me, one of the most notable things about this year's Oscars is the host, just like it was last year. Look, it's no secret that I'm no fan of Seth MacFarlane. Our senses of humor just don't jive, and I wasn't at all surprised by anything I saw during last year's Academy Awards. The Oscars wanted Seth MacFarlane to host the show, and that's exactly what they got, with plenty of edgy and at times uncomfortable jokes. This year, they've gone in the complete opposite direction with Ellen DeGeneres, who is perhaps one of the safest, most family-friendly choices they could possibly have found to host the awards this year. At the end of the day, this is still an awards ceremony aimed mostly at adults. I think, in my opinion, MacFarlane was a little too far over the top last year, but could DeGeneres be too far the other direction? I'll be curious to see how far DeGeneres is willing to push things in her opening monologue. That could tell us a lot about whether the Academy is looking to pull back and highlight the films more so than the program itself, or that perhaps DeGeneres can surprise us all with some timely humor, sketches, or film segments. The one thing I'm fairly certain of is that we won't be getting any Nazi jokes this year, and that's not necessarily a bad thing, at least in my view. For filmnerds.com, I'm Matt Scalici.
For Film Nerds and Aspect Radio, this is Graham Flanagan in New York. The Oscars are coming up, and I'm going to tell you what I think should win and will win in the major categories. In Best Picture, it's obviously a toss-up between 12 Years a Slave and Gravity for what I think will win, even though there's always a chance that the vote might get split and a surprise could occur. But I'm going to go with, I think that 12 Years a Slave will win. Gravity has some momentum right now, and I think that it definitely deserves to win based solely on its technical achievements. Personally, I think that the last section of the film, when Sandra Bullock spends a lot of time just talking to herself, shows a little weakness, not worthy of all the majesty that we've seen prior to that. That's just my personal opinion. So I'm going to say that 12 Years a Slave wins for its subject matter and for the level of the quality of its craft. And I think Hollywood wants to get Brad Pitt up there on the stage to give him an Oscar. So 12 Years a Slave will win. What I think should win is Wolf of Wall Street, one of my favorite movies of the year, technical masterpiece, and very timely in terms of what's been going on Wall Street for the last few years. I think it would be a great Best Picture winner. For performance by an actor in a leading role, I think Matthew McConaughey will win. He's got the momentum right now, and he's been dominating the Critics Awards. I think Leonardo DiCaprio should win. One of the best performances of his career, he carries that movie on his back, and I think that not only is it time that he wins an Oscar, he's been nominated before and hasn't won for worthy performances, and he also hasn't been nominated for worthy performances, but I think this is the one where he should actually win. For a performance by an actress in a leading role, I think Cate Blanchett is a lock to win, and she deserves it, although Amy Adams, to me, in my opinion, stole the show in American Hustle. I'm really glad that she got mentioned. Judi Dench, also great, but I think that Cate Blanchett should and will win Best Actress. For performance by an actor in a supporting role, I think Jared Leto will win. It's kind of a no-brainer, although I personally would rank all four of the other nominated performances above his, and specifically Jonah Hill, I think, should win. He is hilarious in that movie, but yet also believable as a real person, even though it's sort of an extreme personality. To me, he is a major element of what makes The Wolf of Wall Street so great. and I can't get enough of his performance. Performance by an actress in a supporting role. I think that the odds are Lupita Nyong'o is going to win. Now, I'm not going to say what should win because I'm really not that passionate about any of these performances to the extent that I think someone deserves it over Nyong'o. I will say that there are two other people that I think should be nominated in this category from 12 Years a Slave that aren't. One is Adepero Oduye, and I'm sorry if I'm mispronouncing that, who plays Eliza in the movie. You know, she disappears about 45 minutes into the movie. We never see her again. And then also Sarah Paulson, who plays the wife of the evil slave owner, played by Michael Fassbender, who is nominated. Both of those women deserve recognition, in my opinion. I know it's tough when you've got such a crowded field to give more than one actress that appeared in the same movie recognition. Nyong'o definitely has the showcased role, and I understand why she's getting the accolades, but I really feel like those two women in 12 Years a Slave also deserve major recognition. For Best Director, I think that Alfonso Cuarón for Gravity should and will win. Just enough said. What he did is amazing. It's never been done before, and it is a true feat of marrying artistic and technical merits together to create something special. So, for a little extra nugget, I'd like to talk about Best Animated Feature Film of the Year. I am really glad that The Wind Rises is nominated. I've only seen two of the nominees in this category, The Croods and The Wind Rises. Hopefully, I'll have seen Frozen by the time Sunday gets here, but I'm really glad that The Wind Rises is getting recognized. We'll talk more about that on the 100th episode of Aspect Radio, but I really feel that not only does this movie deserve to be nominated for Best Animated Feature, it also deserves to be nominated for Best Picture. So if you hear this, definitely get out there and check out The Wind Rises before the Oscars. You'll understand why it's there. So looking forward to it. This is Graham Flanagan for Film Nerds and Aspect Radio.
Glad tidings, Aspect Radio listeners. This is Craig Hamilton in Nashville, Tennessee, here to present to you the thing I am anticipating most from this year's Oscar Award Show. Well, it seems like every year there's always some sort of disappointment stemming from the host, whether it be bad jokes, poor choice of musical numbers, unfunny cross-dressing, disinterest in hosting, poking fun at Jude Law, or the fact that they're too old. There's any number of things that we can complain about from past award shows when it comes to the host. But this year, I couldn't be more excited at who will be hosting the show. You know who I'm talking about. This person's funny, vibrant, great personality, has been on TV before, a fantastic smile, a great voice, and short blonde hair. I speak, of course, of one Neil Patrick Harris. I'm so excited that he's hosting the award show this year. He's been a solid go-to choice to host the Tony Awards year after year, and it was only a matter of time before he got his big shot for the Academy Awards. So Neil Patrick Harris, here's to you, and the best of luck, my friend.
I want to thank everybody for listening. Thanks, obviously, to Corey for calling in. And we will both be in studio for our next episode, episode 100 of Aspect Radio, where we'll take a look back at the year 2013, and we'll look back at what we've done here at Aspect Radio for the past several years. It's taken us a while to get to episode 100. We haven't been on a regular schedule, but we're grateful to arrive at the number. Corey and I have been doing it again for a long time now, and it's been just a thrill to be able to record this podcast. It's a lot of fun for us, and we hope that it's a lot of fun for whomever listens to it out there. So you can catch us on iTunes. You can follow us on Twitter at Aspect Radio. Find us on Facebook. Just search Aspect Radio and find us at AspectRadioShow.com. Again, thank you so much for listening. We'll see you next time.